Begin the current daf, Masechet Nisvachim, daf Kuf Yud Beis. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara explains the halacha of the previous Mishnah from the previous daf. The Mishnah there was describing, concluding our parak, or the topic of this parak, regarding the prohibition of sacrificing a carbon out of the area where it's allowed to be. So the Gemara described the case where someone received the blood of a carbon chatas in one vessel or in two vessels, and if he does part of it inside, part of it outside, what's the halacha regarding the liability of the Isser of halal b'chutz? So the Mishnah opened up by describing a case with one vessel, and regarding if he does part of it inside, then outside, or part of it outside, then inside, and regarding the liability. So the Gemara explains the halacha of the Mishnah as follows. Bishleim b'chutz v'chazer b'nasim b'fnim, we understand the case of the Reisha, where the person received the blood of the Karma Chatas. First he threw the Zrikas on the outside, then he went and did on the outside. So of course he's going to be liable for the Issa of Allah b'chutz, because those first Zrikas were appropriate to have been done in the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever could be in the Beis HaMikdash, valid, and instead you do it on the outside, so you're going to be liable. Shekulu ro li'is b'fnim, because all of that is viable to have been done inside the Azar. Avol, but as the Gemara, the next case of the Mishnah, Bifnim v'helen b'chutz, when if he first did the Zrikas, he did them all inside, and then he went and did those same Zrikas on the outside, Shirayim ninu, those are leftover bloods. Leftover bloods are not integral of Avodah, so therefore why would one be liable for doing them on the outside? Says the Gemara, as we explained this when we said the Mishnah in the previous stuff, Haman, who was the time of the Mishnah, as Rashi actually said, this was the reason why we said this halacha even, because the Reish is obvious, is Reb Nechemiah. It's like Reb Nechemiah, the Amma that he said, as we quoted on the previous Mishnah, Shiyari Hadam, Shekriv Machutz Chayiv. He holds that, yeah, the liability for the Dam, Machutz, is even the leftover bloods, where that also is going to be liable, Machutz. And that is the Gemara, Irem Nechemiah, the name is Sefer. Then look at the next case of the Mishnah. Mishnah describes, like we said, if kibul dam and b'shnei kaisis, let's say someone received the blood of the karma chatas not in one vessel but in two vessels. So the Mishnah said nasn shneim b'fneim pater. If one does the zrikas adam of both those vessels inside in the azar, so he's exempt because he didn't do it b'chutz. Shneim b'chutz chayiv. If he does both of them on the outside, so he's liable because he did all the blood of the chatas on the outside. Echad b'fneim ve'echad b'chutz pater. But if he did the first one inside, and he fulfilled his obligation, then he does the second cup on the outside, then he's going to be exempt. On that, as the Gemara, why? But Reb Nechemiah said, and we're saying he's the man to Amar, Shiyari Hadam Shekiv Machutz Chayiv, even leftover bloods, even if he did all the Zrikas Adam with the first cup inside, but the second cup is the leftovers, he says leftovers, you're also liable if you do it on the outside. If the Mishnah is Reb Nechemiah, then why in that case does the Tana say that you're going to be exempt? Says the Gemara, Seifa Asan Latana Kama de Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon. The halacha of the two cups in our Mishnah is like the Tana Kama who disagrees with Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon, which is brought in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph over here, which actually it's the Ten Kaddishim brings that the Girsa of our Gemara should have, which was the Girsa that with Rashi had, which is Uman Tana de Polgala de Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon, and who is that Tana that disputes Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon? In other words, we're saying that the Tana of our Mishnah is the Tana who disagrees with Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon. Who is that? Which this one who disputes Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon is brought in Parakal Absulna of Lamed Alam Abayz that says that when there's two different cups and you do all the zrikas from one cup, it makes the other cup not leftovers but dochi, but rejected. As the Mishnah there teaches that a chatas that's received in four different cups and someone gives all the four gifts of the blood of a karma chatas from one of the cups, that's the only one that its leftovers are poured to the side, to the foundation of the Mizbech. But the other three cups are actually just spilled out to the canal. They're not considered Shirayim. Now, Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon over there disagrees, and he says that no, all the cups are all poured to the aside, because he holds that when you do all the gifts in one cup, it makes the other cups into Shirayim, into leftovers. But our Mishnah, who obviously is not saying that, who's that like? So the Girsa continues, Reb Nechemiah. It's like Reb Nechemiah, who he's the one who disagrees. And how do we know he's the one? Because in our Mishnah, as we pointed out before, he's obviously the Tana of our Mishnah. He says, if you receive the blood in one cup, and then you give the hazayis inside, and then you do from the hazayis outside. So the Tana of our Mishnah said you're going to be liable. Why? That Kadesh Reb Nechemiah holds that even though the what you're doing on the outside now is Shirayim, you're chayiv for doing Shirayim on the outside. Now, and in spite of that, the Mishnah continues and says, when you receive it in two cups, then the second cup, he says, you're going to be potter for. Obviously, because the second cup is not considered shiraim leftovers. Rather, it's considered rejected to just be spilled out into the canal. And that's why you're not liable for doing the second cup on the outside. Because like the Gemara says, the Amar, because the Tana who disputes Reb Elazar ben Shimon, who's Reb Nechemah, he says, Kais oitze dochi lechaveri. They mix the second cup, not shiraim, but rather rejected, and therefore it's not considered a viable blood to be chayev b'chutz. And that's why you're actually going to be potter. Now, the Mishnah said, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, lamaha davar daima, what could you compare this halacha regarding these two cups, regarding when you do one inside, one outside, or both inside, or both outside, what could you compare that to? Lamafresh chatasiv avda, in the correlation of what we're talking about with cups of blood, you can compare it to animals, which if let's say someone had designated, he separated a certain karmachatis, but then it got lost. And then he designated another one in this place because he had to bring a karmachatas. And then he found the first one. Oh, now he has two animals, the equivalent of like the two cups of blood. And then that's where we said, the Mishnah said, you can have the same halachas with the two cups of blood as you have with the two animals. If you do one inside, one outside, one outside, one inside, all the different cases. Now that is the Gemara, Lamaha Dava Daima. This that the Mishnah is saying, what could you compare this to? Lamali, what do we need it for? What actual halacha are we learning by comparing the case of the two cups of blood? So the case of the two carbon chattas, what would we extrapolate from that? Yeah, okay, you're right. They both have the same parallel. So therefore what? Says the Gemara, Homami. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbihi, it's Rabbi. The Omar, and that's why he wants to show something, it's illustrating a unique halacha, and we learned it out by the comparison. Where the Omar, he says in Masechta Tzmur Daf Chof Beis Amud Beis, Avuda b'shas hafrasha. The case that we described, that Rebbe's saying, we're saying he's the Tana of a Mishnah, and it's comparing the two cups to the case of two animals. Specifically, the way the Mishnah described it is that at the time when the first animal was lost, then they had designated the second animal, and then they found the first one. Oh, then, okay, they're both viable karbonas chatas, so then you pick one of them. Now, what happens is that then the one that was not used is mesa, is left to die, because it's the equivalent of what the halacha tells us by chatas shechipur ba'alav, when you have a karma chatas that the owner already got atonement somewhere else, where here he got atonement by the other carbon, which the Gemara over there tells us, chaf alfa mabez, that the remaining one, it's left to die. Even if the first one was not lost at the time of when there was atonement with the second one, but rather like the case we're describing in our Mishnah, where it was only lost at the time when you designated the second one, and when you designated the second one, the first one was already found, even so, the halacha is that if you do atonement with one of them, the other one is left to die. Now, so therefore what? So says the Gemara of Hachikam, and this is what the Tana of our Mishnah was saying, who is Rabbi. Taima of the reason is because it was lost. In other words, it's specifically the case we're describing, that this second one that was separated and designated to be karmachatas was only because in the meantime they had lost the first one. That's where the halacha is that our mission is describing, where if you would go and then slaughter one of them on the outside, after that you already slaughtered the first one on the inside, that's where you're going to be exempt for the slaughtering of the second one. Because that's what it means, lamad davademe, that's comparable to the case of our Mishnah regarding the two cups, where the second cup, we also said when you do it on the outside, you're going to be exempt, because it's already doche, it's already rejected. Why is that? Because it's going like the opinion of Rebbe, who he says that yes, that second animal is left to die. It's rejected, it's not viable, just like when we say doche regarding the two cups. Meaning, because in contrast, ha-hifrish de-chatois la-achray is... But in contrast, let's say it wasn't the case that we described, where you had a chatas, you lost it, so you separated a second one, then you found the first one. Let's say someone, a very conscientious individual, wanted to make sure he's going to bring a karma chatas, so he initially went and designated and separated two karbanas chatas, one as insurance for the other, in case one happens to one, he'll have the other one. Now, in that case, even Rebbe would agree that if you get atonement with one of them, the second karma chatas does not die. There it actually, it's left out to graze and develop a blemish, and then the monetary proceeds of that animal is used to buy a carbon oilof when the Mizbeach is idle and there's nothing being sacrificed on the Mizbeach at that time. Which is the equivalent of what the Rabban who disagreed with Rebbe hold by the case of Rebbe when it was lost at the time when you had separated the other one. Where there they hold that it does go out to graze, but not Rebbe. Rebbe holds then it dies. Now, in that case that we're describing, if you would slaughter the second one outside, then actually, you would not say that you'd be exempt. even though that initially you're not going to go ahead and sacrifice that second one as a carbon ayla, and only you're going to use the monetary proceeds to buy a carbon ayla, even so, that's where the contrast would be, that then you actually would be liable for bringing the second one outside, because as the Gemara is going to prove, if they would go ahead and sacrifice the second one as a carbon ayla itself, it would be received after the fact, and therefore that is always going to be the equivalent of it's meskabelis bifnim, and therefore you're going to be chayy for doing it b'chutz. The reason for that is, as the Gemara explains, is because chad minayu mi'ikara oilehi. In the case when you designate two karbanos chatas from the beginning, from its inception, although you're only going to end up bringing one, that other one, although it's not going to be a karban chatas, is still going to be a valid karban, albeit a karban oile. What does that mean, a karban oile? Isn't it a chatas? Because it could Rav Huna Marav. Rav Huna Marav, he says, which we draw a parallel from, he's talking about Asham, but we compare it to this case of chatas, because, as we said, according to Rebbe, this case of chatas is not going to be that it's going to die, as it is in the case of our Mishnah, but rather it's going to be a case where it goes out to graze, hence it's just like this case of Asham. Asham shenitik l'ri'ia, regarding carbon Asham, which was separated to go out to graze. For example, let's say tamura of an Asham, which is when someone tries swapping the sanctity onto another animal, or let's say an Asham that the owner passed away before they sacrificed it, or let's say he got atonement from somewhere else. But the Gemara over there tells us in Tamura, and of Yitzchazmer Aleph, that any case whereby a karban chatas, the animal has to die, which are all these cases that niskapru balel, mesu balel, that then by the usham it goes out to graze. So let's say this person consults with the courts and they tell him, okay, so let it go out to graze. Now, but in spite of that, v'shachtoi stam, and instead of letting it go out to graze and vel blemish selt and buy a karban ayla, he actually takes that usham and he sacrifices it just as is. So on that says Rav Huna Marav, okay, after the fact, it's going to be valid itself as a carbon ayla. Now, it's specifically the way it says that it had to have been nitak, to be removed to graze, because if it wasn't even removed to graze, then like the Gemara said on Daf Heim and Beis in the first parak, then it says who? It would remain in its status as an ashim, and that would not be valid as an ayla. But if it was removed to graze, okay, then even though we're really supposed to sell it and buy an ayla, but it would be valid as an ayla itself. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's the same thing over here. We're here by the carbon chatas. That's what we're saying. This that the Mishnah tells us, and we're drawing a parallel from the case of the two cups where the second one gets rejected. Here, the second animal would also be rejected, and therefore, you'd not be chayiv on the second one. If you did the first one inside, the second one, you'd not be chayiv. That's only because it's exactly like the case of the two cups where it's rejected. Which case is that? Like the way the Mishnah said, according to Rebbe, where it was lost during the time when you separated. But if it had initially been designated two animals, then actually you would be chayiv on the second one. Why? Didn't you already get atonement in the first one, the second one is not significant? You know why? Because it would be like the case of that it goes out to graze, like the asham, where then, if you went and brought it as an ayla, it would be valid. So on some level, this animal is valid inside. So therefore, you're chayiv for sacrificing on the outside. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara says, "Mi dami? Can you compare the halacha of our Mishnah, which is talking about two karbanos chatas, to Rav Huna, who's talking about a karban asham, to say that you're going to be liable for the second karban chatas that you bring outside from the same reason, because since initially it was designated, it's not considered from the chatos hamesis, but rather it's going to go out to graze, and therefore you see, like by Rav Huna's halacha, that the asham that goes out to graze, it can be brought as a karban oila after the fact, so too by this karban chatas? How could you compare them? Hasam Asham Zachar Va'ayla Zachar. There, the Karban Asham itself is a male animal. So too, the Oila is a male animal. So we could understand that if after the fact, instead of bringing the proceeds of the Asham as an Oila, you brought the Asham itself, it'll be considered an Oila. Aval, but here, the Karban Chatas itself is not valid as a Karban Oila at all, because Chatas Nekevihi. The Chatas animals that have to go out to graze are females, and females can't be brought as a carbon oila. How can you say that it's valid inside after the fact because it can be brought as an oila? Oila? It's a female animal. A female animal can't be an oila. So how can you say yichayv on the second one outside, not in the case of a Mishnah, but in the other case, which would be hufer shumi karish, techatois lachrayis. So Amrav Chiya Mistinya, which means he's from this place, Justinia, says not a difficulty. We're talking about Bisar Nasi. What type of chatah is we talking about? We're talking about specifically when the Nasi does a chet, sins. Where he had designated two karbanos chatas for responsibility, where the Sar Nasi, he actually does not bring a female animal as his chatas. He actually brings a male animal. And therefore, that's where the interpretation would apply, that since there, initially, if he separated two karbanos chatas, which are zacharim, after the fact, the second one would not die, he would actually go out to graze, and if instead of grazing he went and they brought it as a oil, as a stam itself, it would be valid as a oilo, so therefore it's royal lipnim, and therefore you'd be chayiv if it's brought outside. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that it's only specifically in the case of the two cups where the second one is rejected, and that's the equivalent of the case of mafresh chatasev avda. In contrast, it was not mafresh chatasev avda, but rather initially two were brought, then actually in the second animal, even though the first one was brought inside, the second one actually would be chayiv bachutz. Hanulach HaShaykh V'Amal, we shall return to you the 13th Parak Masech, the Zvachim Parak HaShaykh V'Amal, which was speaking about this halacha of Avoyde B'chutz, which the two primary that are said in the Torah is regarding slaughtering outside and sacrificing on the outside. And with that, we continue with the 14th Parak, Parak Paras Chatas, which also continues on this theme regarding doing something out of its place where it's supposed to be done. Now, but these are exceptions to the liability of the halacha of chutz. Says the Mishnah, Paras Chatas, which refers to the paraduma, that's what it's called in Halacha and the Torah, regarding the bull of the Chatas, the red heifer that is burnt outside and the Avod is done on a mountain that's near Har HaBayis, on the Har HaZeisim, a different mountain. But Shesar Fochutz Megita, it's supposed to be burnt in a deep spot. That's why it's called Gita, it's pit, just means to say in the deep spot. So let's say it was burnt not in its pit, but out of its pit. The Gemara doesn't explain exactly where and how this is. But it's also on this halacha of chutz, of not being done in this appropriate place. Or v'chein sar ha-meshtaleach shehikriv b'chutz. So let's say so too the he-goat, that's la-zazel on Yom Kippurim, that's sent off the cliff, that was also sacrificed out of its space. It wasn't done as it's supposed to be thrown off the cliff, it was sacrificed outside. Says the Mishnah Patr, in these two cases, the one who does is going to be exempt from this halacha of bachutz. In other words, they're not going to say that, what do you mean, you slaughtered these kachim out of its spot, not according to how the Torah had commanded you. So that should be a liability of bachutz. So that's the Mishnah saying, no, because the Torah exempts him. Why? Shneim the pasuk says in Yikra, regarding the liability of this halacha of bachutz, says, Vel pesach oil moyed lo hevion. I mean, this person who did it appropriately because he did not bring his carbon to the opening of the entryway of the oil moyed, which tells us, only an animal which is appropriate to have been brought into the entryway of the Oil Mayid, who there's an obligation to bring it over there, that's where the Torah commands and says there's going to be a punishment if you don't bring it in there. So obviously we're talking about where it's a carbon that's supposed to be brought into the Pesach El Mayid. But that tells us, Kosha Ein Ro Lovi El Pesach El Mayid, whatever carbon's not supposed to be in Pesach El Mayid, it's never gonna be there, like the Paras Chatas. It's not done Pesach El Moed. It's done, yeah, it has a spot, but it's on a different mountain. So too, the Azazel is not done over there. It's done on some cliff. So therefore, even though you don't do it in the appropriate spot, in Chayavn Lov, you're not going to be liable because it's not something that was supposed to be brought on Pesach El Moed, which the Gemara is actually going to ask. The Sar Meshtaleach actually was Asad Lovay El Pesach El Moed, because when they would do the lotteries and then do the Vidui, they would actually be doing that on the Sar Azazel in Pesach El Moed. So the Gemara is going to address that question. Continues the Mishnah. Hariveya v'harnirva, regarding an animal that sodomized a person or was sodomized by a person, or v'hamukta v'haneved, or if it was designated for avodah zarah or served as avodah zarah, or v'hamachir v'esnan, or an animal that was swapped for a dog or swapped for relations with a harlot, v'aklayim v'treifel, or if the animal was a mixed breed or had a mortal defect, or v'yetz daifin, or if it was not born through the regular way but rather through the abdominal wall of its mother. Regarding all these animals, shakriv machutz, if they were sacrificed outside, although they were designated to be a carbon, pater, one's going to be exempt. Why? Because the pasuk says over there that lifnei mishkan Hashem. It says that if someone didn't bring el pesach el moed lahakrav carbon to sacrifice a carbon lifnei mishkan Hashem, in front of mishkan Hashem, what that tells you is kol shein ro lovi lifnei mishkan Hashem. If you can have an animal that's not fit to be brought in front of mishkan Hashem, so then in chayam lov, then you're not going to be liable. In other words, and that's the chiddush over here, which the Gemara is going to actually address and say, well, why do we bring it from this part of the pasuk? Why don't you just bring it from al pesach el moed lo yibiyano? Because it's not something that's supposed to be brought because it's not a valid carbon at all. But that's what the Mishnah is saying, that even though you could bring it al pesach el moed, but since it's not fit lahakrav carbon, it's not fit to be brought as a carbon at all. So therefore, that's excluded from the liability if one would go ahead and do that bachutz. Now continues the Mishnah, bali mumen, blemished animals. Bein bali mumen kvuin, whether if it's a permanent blemish, or bein, as we continue to amen beis, bali mumen oivrin, or if it's a temporary blemish, shekriv machutz, if one goes and sacrifices such a carbon on the outside, but he's exempt again because it's not a valid carbon to lahakriv lefnei mishkan Hashem. But Reb Shimon Naimi, he says it depends. Bali mumen kvuin pater, yeah, permanently blemished animal, one is exempt. But bali mumen oivrin, if it's a temporary blemish, Chayiv Balaisa say, then he's actually going to be liable for a negative prohibition, because since ultimately this animal will be fit at a future time when the temporary blemish passes, as the Mishnah is going to end up explaining, so therefore one would still be violating a negative prohibition. So too, Tarim Shalo Higiyaz Manim, says the Mishnah regarding a turtle dove, which is one of the two types of bird korbanos, which has not yet reached its time that it's valid yet to be brought as a korban. As the Mishnah teaches in Chul Nefchav Beis Mabeis, that only when they get a little bit golden are they valid, but before that they're still too young and they're invalid, because the terminology Tarim, turtle doves, makes it sound like that they're older and not younger. Or Uvenei Yayna Sha'avazman, or let's say pigeons, which already passed its time, because Bnei Yayna sounds like that they're small and not large, and they actually become invalid, this type of bird, once it starts getting a little bit golden. So regarding these two cases, Shakriv Machutz, if they were sacrificed on the outside, Pati, they're going to be exempt again, because they're not valid as Karbanis inside to be liable on the outside. But here, Trub Shimon Emi, he differentiates. He says, B'nei Yainisha of Isman and Patra. Yeah, regarding pigeons that already passed its time, so it's exempt because it's never going to be viable. But V'tayr Mishalahigi Ismanan, but regarding turtle doves, that's not yet its time. It's not old enough yet, but when it reaches a certain age, when it gets golden, then it's going to be valid. Then, Balaisa say that one would be violating negative prohibition if he's going to do it on the outside, because since it would be fit at a later point in time, so there is a negative prohibition by slaughtering it now on the outside. Similarly, which is the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child on the same day. So therefore it's not viable right now because one had already slaughtered the child this day. Or if it's lacking the requisite time yet to be able to bring the carbon, so the Tanakhama says patur, it's exempt because it's not viable inside, so you're not liable outside. Shimon Ami says, no, one will be violating a negative prohibition in these two cases. As the Mishnah explains the theory, the reason for his halachas that we just mentioned. Shreb Shimonim, because Reb Shimon says, Kol shuhuro lovel achas man, whatever is able to be brought at a later point in time, although right now you can't, Hareza Balaisa say, so therefore he is still violating a negative prohibition by sacrificing on the outside. And the Gemara is going to explain which negative prohibition this is. But, however, Ve'im Karis, there's still not going to be the punishment of Karis, which one usually gets, by sacrificing a carbon on the outside. Now, the sages say no. Kol she'im b'karis, as Reb Shimon agrees, whatever is not going to have karis by dying at a young age, then Embo Leisa say then you're not going to have a negative prohibition. Now, the Mishnah qualifies and explains, mechusas man, if it's lacking time, which we had explained that then the one who does on the outside is going to be exempt, says the Mishnah, that's bane whether if it's mechusas man begufay, in the actual carbon itself, which is not 8 days old yet, it's still too young, or bane, or whether it's mechusas man beba'alav, in the owner, meaning it didn't yet reach the time that the owners are able to bring their karbanis yet. Regarding both of those, is if you do it on the outside, you're going to be exempt. Says the Mishnah, Izehu mechusas man beba'alav, what does it mean lacking time in the owners? It means, let's say, hazav, hazava, vahiledis, regarding a zav who has a certain emission from his body, and so too in the female version, or a woman that gave birth, and she's still in the days of malais, which are the days that she's not yet fit, depending if she had a boy or a girl, to then, after 40 days or 80 days, bring her carbon, so she's still within those days. Or vahamatsayra, someone that had saras, shehekrivu, where they brought their kabanis, let's say by the matsayra, during the days of their countings, which he hasn't yet reached the time, like by the azab and the zava, of bringing their kabanis, they're still within the time frame that they still have to wait. So then, chatasim ba'ashamam, regarding their karma chatas and the karban ashram, the Gemara is going to ask what ashram is there by these individuals who are not yet reached their time, that they have to bring karbanis, where do you find an ashram by them? If they bring their karbanis, bachutz, on the outside, patur, they're going to be exempt again because they would not have been accepted inside, not as the obligation that they're supposed to bring because they haven't yet finished their counting their days, and neither would have been brought as an adava because you can't bring a karban chatas and ashram as an adava. However, Eilai Sehen, regarding their karban Eila, which Azav and Azava bring a bird Eila, Yeledis brings an animal Eila, there you're going to be liable because they would be accepted inside, not as the Chay, because they didn't yet reach the time, but a karban Eila could be brought as an adava for that sake. And therefore, since it would be valid inside, you're going to be Chayv on the outside. And so to Bishlamein, their karban Shlamim, which the Gemara is going to ask, where do you find the karban Shlamim by these individuals? If you bring these two karbanis, Bachotz on the outside, Chayavin, then they are going to be liable. Continues the Mishnah, Hamala mibasar chatas. If someone sacrifices from the meat of a karban chatas, or mibasa ashim, the meat of a karban ashim, or mibasa kachik kachim, the meat of a kachik kachim, which if we already said chatas ashim, oila, what we're talking about is, and oila is different, we're talking about a meat that's not normally sacrificed, but rather eaten, it means the kivsi atzeris, which that's the one exception of that the shlamim is going to be considered a kachik kachim, that which is brought on shvuas, or mibasa kachim kalim, or the meat of a lower level karban, like a regular shlamim, or Moisa Ha'omer, or the leftover of Karban Oimim, meaning after they take off the Kemitza and they burn it on the Mizbeach, the leftover, the Oimer that's brought on the 16th of Nisan, that the leftover of that Mincha, or Shtei HaLechem, or the two showbreads, or the two breads that are brought on Shavuos, or Balechem upon them, the 12 showbreads that are on the Shulchan that's eaten every Shabbos, Vishere Menachas, or the leftover of any flour offering, or V'hayetzik, or regarding someone who pours the oil on a flour offering, which like the Pasuk says in Birkei Beis, V'yitzakti, you have to pour oil on it, or V'apaitzis, so if someone goes and crumbles a certain type of mincha called the minchas mafe, which is a baked flour offering. Like it says in the pasuk, pieces eisa pitim, you have to crumble it after you bake it into small pieces. Or v'aboil, if someone mixes it together then with the oil. V'amelech, or someone who salts it. V'amein, if someone who elevates it, which they would lift it up. V'amekesh, or someone who brings the mincha, but he's doing it on the outside, which really it's supposed to require hagasha, which is bringing near inside in the Azara, which one would bring it near to the southwestern corner, but instead he does it on the outside. Or Vamasadis HaShulchan, if someone organizes the table with its things that it's organized with, again, all these halachas are if he does this Bachutz. Or Vameitiv HaSaneris, or if he cleans out the ashes from the menorah, which is done every morning from the menorah, from the fire that burnt there from the previous night. Of our climates, if someone takes the fistful from the flour offering, which is the avoid of kemitza. Of a makabal dam, if someone receives the blood of a carbon, bachutz, if someone does any one of these things, either burns those types of meat or those types of flour offerings, or if someone does these avoidas, like of the crumbling, or of the hagasha, or the hanafa, or being organized in the table, and he does these things bachutz, Pater is going to be exempt. The Gemara is going to explain the reason for all these halachas, why they're exempt. Now, additionally, regarding all these things that we just spoke about, not only are they exempt if they do the avodah b'chutz, also ve'in chayav lav, they're not going to be liable on them, lo mishum zaris. Let's say if a non-kohen does any one of these avodahs, there's not going to be a death penalty for the non-kohen who did it. The reason for that is because regarding all those stuff that we spoke about burning them, so regarding those things that are normally eaten, like the meat of a kachakachim, the meat of a chatas, and ashim, and so on. So those things are not normally burnt. So that's not an avoda for a non-kohen to be liable for. Now, regarding all those things that are certain types of avodas, like pouring the oil or crumbling the mincha, since they're not the end of that service, there's stuff that you do after that. So those types of avodas, a non-kohen is not liable for misa, as the Gemara says in the first parak in Yom Dav Chav Dalam and Aleph. It has to be an avoda of matana, and not an avoid of meaning of giving and not of taking away. And also has to be avoid the tama, has to be the final part of that avoid. But if there's another procedure after that, like let's say doing the kemitza, it's not the end, you still have to burn the kemitza on the mizbeach. So therefore, that's not something that the Zahar would be liable for. Additionally, regarding all these things that we just mentioned, that whole list, v'lei mishum tumah, a kohen that does that avoida in the state of impurity is not going to be liable. Now, the reason for that is because the prohibition of a non-kohen and of a kohen who's tamei doing the avodah are learned from the same pasuk, like it says, the yinazru v'lo yichalu, which the Gemara learned in the Yedayin Med Aleph, what you're liable of the yinazru, which is to separate that it should be kohanim and not non-kohanim, is the same liability of v'lo yichalu of someone who does the avodah in the state of tama. So again, as we just said, since the non-kohen would not be chayv misa in those things, so those are not the things that a kohen would be liable doing in the state of tama. And also v'lo mishum mechus begadim. Also regarding these things, he wouldn't be liable if he's lacking his kohanic garments, because lacking kohanic garments is the same halachic status as being a non-kohen. Because as the Gemara says over there in Yuma, that they're only considered kohanim when they're wearing their garments. When they're not wearing their garments, they're like non-kohanim. And since for these halachas, we just said that the non-kohen would not be liable mitzvah, so therefore those are things that the kohen wouldn't be liable for not wearing his garments. And also, these are also things that he wouldn't be liable for not having washed his hands and feet before he did the avodah, because we learn that Xereshava chuka from a chutz begadim in the Gemara Yuma over there, which we learn regarding that is machal davoida. So too we learn regarding the death penalty, which again, as we said, these things you're not liable for machutz begadim, so therefore you wouldn't be liable for not having washed your hands and feet on the kiyar before doing that avoida. Now, continues the Mishnah with halacha that we were discussing from the previous parak, that whole parak regarding doing the avoida and the chutz. So now Mishnah goes through the history, the chronology, describing regarding this halacha of the prohibition of bamos, private altars, out of the Beis HaMikdash, and when they were actually permitted. Says the Mishnah, Ad shelehukam haMishkan, until the Mishkan, which was the tabernacle, the first center place which the Jewish people had designated that that's where the avodah is done, until it was not erected, hayah bamos mutaris, so private altars were permitted. And vavodah bebechiris, The service was actually done by the firstborn sons, as the pasuk says, "Moshe Chavdal v'Yishlach Asnar b'nei Yisrael." Before they had the Mishkan built, they actually sent the youth. It was the oldest son. He was the one who did the avoda. But Meshuhukam Mishkan. But once the tabernacle, the Mishkan was put up, then Nesru Habamis. Then private altars became forbidden, which is this whole halach of Shchut Echutz, which we discussed in the previous parak, which the Torah says that they're forbidden. And also avoda b'kanim. The service was transferred from the firstborn to the Kahanim, like the pasuk says, "Kravel Mizbech," that they told the Kahanim to now start doing the Avodah. Moreover, Kachim Kachim Nechal Lefnim Minaklom, the holiest types of Krabanas, were only able to be eaten within the area of the curtains of the Azara, like the pasuk says, by the Chatas, Asham, Mincha, which are all Kachim Kachim, says that it should be eaten B'chatzar Oil Might, in the courtyard of the Oil Might, which is the Azara. Now, B'kachim Kalim, but the lower level Krabanas, like Shlamim, Taida, they could be eaten in the entire encampment of the Jewish people, meaning how they were. This was before the Mishkan was put up, and then the Mishkan was put up, so they were in the Midbar. So according to their encampments, by their flags, as the Gemara learns in Ezra Mekomet of Nehemiah Al from Sukkim, so that's the area where they were able to have Kachem Kalam, which is the equivalent, as we'll see in Yerushalayim, which is the Machne Yisrael in Yerushalayim in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. But that was in the times of the Mishkan. Now they had the Mishkan all the way up till when they would going into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Bo le Gilgal, when they came to Gilgal, meaning when they finally, after the 40 years in the desert, they crossed over the Jordan River and came into Eretz Yisrael, and that's where they brought the Oil Ma'id over there. So for the 7 years that they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, and then for the 7 years after that, when they were dividing it, so the Oil Ma'id was in Gilgal. So at that point in time, Hutru Habamis, the private altars were permitted, as Gemara learns later on, from the Pasuk, Ish Kal Yosha Be'enav, everyone, whatever he wanted to do, he was able to do, which was that you could bring your own karbanas on your own private altar. Now, kachi kachim nechalan, but the highest karbanas were eaten, meaning the kachi kachim were not brought on the private altars. Because anything that could not be a nether or a nedava was not able to be brought on the private altar. Now, a mincha was not brought on the private altar, as we'll see later on. So therefore, what do you have left? Karban oila, anyways, is not eaten. And the chatzis asham was only brought in the Bamas Tzibur, the main one, which was in the Mishkan, in that which was in Gilgal. Because, as we said, Chatzis and Asham cannot be brought in the Nadab, but that wasn't brought in the private altar. So the only Kachi Kachim that were being eaten were only those that were brought in the Mishkan itself. So those were eaten Lefnim Naklam, only in the area within the curtains, what we call the Azara, the Chatzar El Ma'id. But the Kachim Kalim, Mechal Makim, during those 14 years, Kachim Kalim, the lower level Karbanas, which were able to be brought in everyone's private altar, were eaten wherever you wanted to. The reason for that is because since there was no Machne Yisrael, there were no more encampments, because in those years they were traveling the entire land of Israel, of Eretz Yisrael, to conquer it, and therefore they weren't settled around the Mishkan, so there was no more Kedusha of Machne Yisrael. Now, the reason why Meister Sheni, the laws of that, which we will quote later on, is not mentioned over here, is because the laws of Meister yet didn't apply of taking tithes until they had first divided Eretz Yisrael and settled it, and only then was the laws of Meister Sheni applicable. Now, Bo L'Shila, then after they divided Eretz Yisrael, after those 14 years, right away then they established the Mishkan in Shiloh. So then, Nesru Habamis, then again the private altars became forbidden, as the Mishnah is going to teach us soon, because that's the place that the Torah alludes to when it says, Menucha, where it says, in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, Kilei Basim at Atta Bagerma, because you haven't yet come to the Menucha and to the Nachla. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that when you cross over the Jordan, you're not going to be able to sacrifice on private altars like what we're doing today, that we go ahead and we sacrifice in the Mishkan, Chatois, and Hashemes, but rather, Kala Yashab Ein of Tasu, everyone does whatever they want to do, meaning that Nandarim and Adavis, which are not obligatory, that just whatever a person wants to do, then at the time of conquering and dividing, which you have not yet come Ela Manucha, meaning to Shiloi, that then you could go ahead and bring your own private altars. But rather, when you cross over the Jordan, Vishavtim Ba'aretz, and you settle the land, meaning after you the inheritance and settling, then that's what the Pasuk says, V'ayam Makam, then the place, Hisham L'cha, you have to be careful, meaning that's where the Pasuk talks about the prohibition of Bamas, that was when they came to Shiloi. Now, V'lohayisham Tikra, in Shiloi, in that Mishkan, there was no roof made out of boards. Ella beis avanim b'levad milmatan. Rather, the structure on the bottom was made out of brick. V'hayiris milmal, made out of stone, and there were only curtains on the top. As Gemara is going to learn this idea. Now, v'hi hoisa menucha. This is what was referred to in the Torah as the resting place. Now, kachi kachi nechal nofanim alkalon. The holiest karbanos were eaten only within the curtains. V'kachim kalam amaisa sheni. Here's where we finally mentioned it, where it started being applicable to laws of the tithes. So the Kachem Kalam and the second tithe were Bechol Haraya, was in any place that from there you could see Shila, as the Gemara is going to learn out the source for that halacha. Now, Bo L'Noiva Given, after Shila was destroyed, and then the Aron, the Ark, was taken in the days of Eli, and they were taken captive, then after that period, they came and they established the Mishkan in Noiv, and then later on the Given, like the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, that there was no bread, and therefore it was only Lefnei Hashem, which is that you see that in Noiv was where the Shulchan and the Mizbeach was over there. Then when Noiv was destroyed in the days of Shal, then they came to Given, like the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, that's where the Bama Gedolah was. Now, during those periods of Noiv and then later on in Given, so Hutru HaBamis, so the private altars were permitted in that time, as the Gemara is going to learn out. And kachim, which were only brought again in the Bama Gedailu and the Chom Lefnim and Aklam, that was eaten only within the curtains. Whereas kachim kalim, b'chol Ari Yisrael, the lower level karbanas were eaten in all the Jewish cities. Now, meaning to say, because they were able to make an altar wherever they wanted to, so wherever they made it, so they were able to sacrifice over there. Now, according to Rashi's text, it also said that kachim kalim u'maister sheni was b'chol Ari Yisrael, which I was going to ask, but why? Why didn't they have to bring it up to the area of where the Mishkan was and not even giving? Now continues the Mishnah, Bo Yerushalayim. Then finally, what happened was, then they finally made the area, the dwelling place of Hashem in Yerushalayim, which is the Beis HaMikdash. At that point on, Nesra HaBamis, the private altars became forbidden. This was David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. They built it finally in Yerushalayim. The Lahoy Lehen Heter, and then there was no more ever a permissible time of making private altars after the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is what the Torah refers to when it was saying that they're going to come to Ela Manucha Vela Nachla. Manucha, the resting place, was referring to Shilay. And then the later place of Nachla, the inheritance, that's referring to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. That's when that point, the Bamis became forbidden forever. And Kachi Kachim Nechalim Fnam Naklam, the holiest karbanas are eaten only in the Azara and within the curtains. And Kachim Kalam Amaisa Sheni, the low level karbanas and the second types, are eaten Lefnim and Achayma within the walls of Yerushalayim, because that's what's considered the equivalent of the Machne Yisrael. And the Midbar is what Yerushalayim is in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Pasuk says, V'chalta Shem Lefnei Hashem, you have to eat in front of Hashem. What's considered in front of Hashem is Yerushalayim, which is the area right in front of the Har HaBayis, which is where the Beis HaMikdash is. Continues the Mishnah, Kala Kachim Shekdeshin B'Shas Issa Abamas, any carbon that was sanctified at a time when private altars were forbidden. And V'Kriven B'Shas Issa Abamas, and then it was sacrificed at a time when Abamas are forbidden, Mibachot, meaning someone goes and sacrifices on a private altar outside when altars were forbidden at the time of the sanctity and of the time of the sacrifice. So Hare Elu Ba'asei. So first of all, the person is going to be violating the positive commandment of which are Torah said in Vayikra Yitzayin, Vavim LaShem, you have to bring the carbon to Hashem, meaning not outside, that's a positive commandment. And he's also violating Valois, a negative prohibition, because regarding Shechita, the Pasuk says, Hisham Alecha, which we said that means safeguard, is always referring to a Lois essay, that Sham Tala, Visham Tasa, that you should do it, bring it up and then there, do it over there, which refers to slaughtering. And the prohibition regarding sacrificing, it also says in Dvarim Yud Beis, Hisham Alecha, Pentalo Eilasecha. So we see a negative prohibition both in regards to the Shechita and regard to Allah. And the Chayav and Lav Karas is also going to be a liability of being punished with dying at a young age, like the Pasuk says in Mikra Yitzayin, V'Pesach El-Moy Le'Evi, if he doesn't bring it to the Pesach El-Moy, so then the Pasuk says, Nichras, he's going to get Karas. Now, but let's say Higdeshin B'Shas Hetta Bamas. Let's say it was sanctified, he designated this as a carbon at a time when Bamas were permitted. But then before he got a chance to sacrifice it, V'Kriven B'Shas Isra Bamas. By the time he sacrificed it, the Bamas were already outlawed, were forbidden, and still he does it B'Chotz outside on the private altar. So then, Hare Elu Ba'asei V'Lois, so he's violating the positive commandment of bringing it to the Mizbeach, and the negative prohibition of not doing it outside. But in this case, V'in Chayav Leim Karas, there's not going to be a liability of Karas, as the Gemara said this in Perek HaShech V'Amala, the previous paragraph of Kavav Mabez, that the Gemara said that up until this point, it was told about Kachim that were sanctified at a time when Bamas were forbidden. But then, that's what it says there later on. It says, so you would think that although it's forbidden now, it's saying even when Bamas were permitted that you were makdish it, and then you were makrib when it was forbidden, you would think there'd be Karis. That's what the Gemara says, that no, it says Zeis, that this is for them, but no other punishment. So the Pasuk only refers to an Asei Elois Asei, but it doesn't refer to the Karas, and therefore that's how we know that there's no Karas in that case. Now continues the Mishnah, let's say Hekdeshin B'Shas Isra Bamas. Let's say it was sanctified at a time when Bamas were forbidden. Now, at that point on, when the time that he sanctified it, since Bamas were not permitted at the time, so he has the positive commandment, okay, V'Havim L'Hashem, to bring it to Hashem. Now, but since he waited and he delayed from bringing it, And by the time Vekriven, he sacrificed it, Bishas Hetra Bamas. He ended up doing it outside at a time when Bamas already were permitted. So then, Hare Elo Ba'ase. So he violated the positive commandment of bring it Lashem. Because since he waited, although now it's not violating the negative prohibitions of doing it outside, because no problem outside, because Bamas are permitted, but he didn't fulfill his obligation of Avim Lashem, because when he sanctified it, it was only able to be brought to Hashem. But the Imbaham Lysa say, but he's not violating negative prohibition, and neither is he going to get Karis, because the Ashar and the Einish are only said at the time of the sacrificing. And at the time of the sacrifice, the Bamas were already permitted. Now continues the Mishnah, the Elu Kachim Kareven Bamishkan. These Karbanas are those which have to be sacrificed in the Mishkan itself, meaning at a time when there was a Mishkan, that, let's say, in Gilgal, which there was a Mishkan, but Bamas private altars were also permitted. The following kachim had to be sacrificed in the Mishkan, and you were not able to sacrifice it on your private altar. They are kachim shehukdashu lamishkan, regarding kachim karbanis that were sanctified for the Mishkan, which the Mishnah explains. What does that mean? Karbanis tzibur, a carbon tzibur or carbon tamid, which the general application of it is to be brought in the mikdash, so that kareven b'mishkan has to be sacrificed in the Mishkan. Whereas, but for karbanis hayachid, but regarding private individual karbanas. So there, the assumption is, it could even be brought bebama in the private altar. Now, karbanas hayachet shehukter shul mishkan, but regarding a private person's karban, which was sanctified for the mishkan, in other words, at the time when he was makdashit, he designated, and he separated, he said, I'm doing it with the intention of only sacrificing the mishkan, then yakriven bemishkan, then of course he has to bring it in the mishkan. But vimekriven bebama pater, but if he ultimately did not bring it in the mishkan, and he brought his private karban on the private altar, he's going to be exempt from the violation of the loisase and from the punishment of karis, because ultimately there's no prohibition of sacrificing in bamas, because bamas are permitted this time. But it's still forbidden to change, because the pasuk says, as a positive commandment in the Devarim Chof Gimel, kasha nedarta tishma v'asis, it said, like you vowed, you have to be careful, and you have to do like you said. And he did say that he's going to bring it to the mishkan. But again, if he didn't, then he's not getting the azhara and the karis of the isser of shechita b'chutz. Now, says the Mishnah, Ma bein bamas yachid. What was the difference between a private altar, which Gemara is going to learn, how do we know regarding all these things we're about to say do not apply to a private altar, labamas tzibur, to the public altar, which, let's say, in the days of Gilgal and Nevin Given, where people were able to have at certain times, there was bamas tzibur, and even at certain times, you could even have the public bama and even the private altar. What was the difference in application? So says the Mishnah, the following things, which were only by the bamas tzibur, by the public altar, which is the equivalent of what the Mizbeach is in the Beis HaMikdash, but just that one could even have private altars, are smicha, the leaning on the carbon before it's slaughtered, which shechita saf, and the fact that it has to be slaughtered in the north, as you continue top of Kuf Yud Gimel and Aleph, umat and saviv, this that certain karbanas, let's say, that require shtayim shein arba, like a karban oil that has to have two that's really four, which is that you have to see the gifts of the blood on when you're throwing it on two sides of the altar, that so it has to be considered like as if it's all around on all four sides. Again, that halacha only applied in the Bama Gedayla, not on a Bama Siyachid. Utnufa v'hagasha, which the halacha said applied to a flower offering of elevating and bringing it to the corner of the southwestern corner of Mizbeach. Again, that only applied to a Bama Gedayla, not a Bama Gitana. Now, Rabbi Yudam, he says, regarding this last halacha, he says, there's no such ramification because ein mincha babama. There was no flower offering in the altar, as the Gemara is going to learn where he knows this from, so therefore, you don't have that ramification, the difference between the Bama Gedayla and Bama Gitana regarding the laws of the mincha. But continues the Mishnah. Another difference is that, again, only applied to Bama Gedayla is v'kihun, the fact that it has to be kahanim, because regarding a private altar, even a non-kohen was kasher. And the big day sharis, and regarding the requirement of wearing the kahana garments, again, was only by Bama Gedayla, ukli sharis, using service vessels, which are sanctified, v'reich nechayach, and also to have a pleasing aroma, which the Gemara said in Daf Mem Bam Beis and Perek B'Shamay, that there are six things that are required when slaughtering a carbon. They have to be, one of them was l'shem reyach. It has to have a pleasing aroma, which excludes if, let's say, the limbs were first roasted, and then only then they were brought up on top of the Mizbeach to be burnt, where then it doesn't have a pleasing aroma because it all came out when it was first roasted. That halacha only applied in the Bama Gedayla and not by a Bama Gitana. Umechitza l'dam, also the fact of having a separation between the bloods, which was this chuta sikra, the red string that divided the upper half of the Mizbeach and the lower half regarding certain bloods that had to be in the top half and the bottom half. And v'richitza dam reglaim, and the washing hands of the feet. Again, these things only applied to the Bama Gedayla, the public altar, and not the private individual ones. Aval, but says the Mishnah, hazman. The fact that a carbon becomes invalidated when if it's slaughtered with the intention of being consumed beyond its time, and also regarding a liability of Kodshim because of Hanaiser, because it was actually left over its time, or Vatame, or the impropriety of it being done in the state of Tumah, Shavin Bezeh Bezeh, that was the same thing by both the Bama Gedolah and Bama Ketana, that those three Isturim, Zman, Nisr, and Tameh, were problematic, not just by Bama Gedolah, but also by Bama Ketana.